Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello also from my side. So today we would like to talk about productivity growth in France. And to do so, we are very pleased to have Alain Duret with us, who is an expert on the topic. Alain is the head of the Macroeconomics and Europe Division at the Bureau of the French Prime Minister, called France Stratégie. And he's also Rapporteur Général of the French National Productivity Board. And as such, he's an expert on research related to productivity and competitiveness. So welcome to the podcast, Alain. Great to have you.
Hello, Dirk. Hello, Klaus. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, let's start maybe. Can you explain in a bit more detail what the Economic Bureau of the French Prime Minister, the France Stratégie, does? What role does it play in the machinery of the French government?
Yeah, France Stratégie is the Economic Bureau attached to the cabinet of the French Prime Minister. It was established 10 years ago in order to provide researcher support to the French Prime Minister. It has been established as an independent body to analyze economic, social, environmental, technological issues. And there are two types of works, I will say. So one channel, which is which is basically a request either from the government, the prime minister, or even the parliament to assess some policy issues. So for recently, we assessed the effectiveness of the recovery plan of France in the context of the Next Generation EU. In terms of investment, also the impact of labor reform. So that's one set of works. And the second channel is basically our own issues, the analysis that we want to have. And we are, in the conduct of those issues, quite independent. We just express our views, and of course the government decide afterwards. That's independence is also explaining why the French National Productivity Board is attached to France Stratégie. If you remember, in 2016, the European Commission recommended to all euro area countries to establish a National Productivity Board to analyze the evolution of productivity and competitiveness in the context of the macro imbalance procedures. And that's basically the purpose of this board.
Right, so that's quite interesting. Let's now start with discussing productivity, and let's focus on the big picture first. Mm. So can you tell us a little bit about how productivity in France has evolved over the past decades prior to the COVID and Russian invasion shocks? And does the French productivity performance, how does it compare to other European countries? Does it look different in terms of composition or similar? We'd be just interested in getting a picture, a big picture view first.
Yeah, well, so the key point there is that until the COVID period, until the COVID crisis, the development in French labor productivity or productivity as a whole was in terms of numbers, not in terms of roots. I come to that issue in a minute. In terms of numbers, we're not different from the major economies, advanced economies, which basically namely means that from an average of between 3 and 5% annual growth for productivity in the 70s, the French, as the French productivity has slowed down to 1% today, around 1% today, which is not that far from the other countries. The main reason of this slowdown was rooted in a slowdown of capital stock, especially for countries like France, Germany, Italy. And on top of that, in countries like Germany and Italy and like France, we also observe a reduction of working hours that eroded the positive impact from the capital's human capital.
So you say that the difference between France and Germany, or say Italy and Germany, is that working hours in France did not decline as much?
Yeah, not as much as in those countries, yeah.
Okay, and then if you have a higher stock of human capital, that it has more beneficial effects.
Yeah, and that's basically in the recent last decades, I will say. It's also because some flexibility implied by labor reform helps to increase the working hours. So there is, I know there is this picture that France is limited to work 35 hours a week, but in practice today, the average working hours is around 39-40.
Okay, so and this means that the productivity numbers you just talked about are basically output per worker, not output per hour.
And no, exactly.
Exactly, okay, I see, thank you.
And on the human capital stock, you said that France was doing better on that front than, say, Italy and Germany. That can also explain why productivity growth was a bit better.
Well, yeah. So then there was the employment ratio improved over time. And so that's also contributed to a positive increase of human capital.
Okay, so but it had not much to do with the educational system per se, or that's hard to trace down to differences there. It's simply more people in work, learning more than and over time getting better at what they are doing.
Yeah, especially in the recent years.
Okay, there's work by the French National Productivity Council, we mentioned productivity board, that suggests that productivity numbers may be weak in France, or part of the decline, because of multinational firms. The income from these big companies gets transferred into low tax locations, potentially Ireland, for example, causing a form of value added leakage from high tax to low tax locations. And this means that the weakness or the decline in productivity growth may be more a measurement issue and not really a real phenomenon. What do you think of this argument? Do you think there is this kind of leakage, and is it relevant?
Well, first of all, it's mostly, as you said, measurement bias. It's statistically significant, but it's not that important. Quite important, in the sense that our calculations over the last decades, capital leakage to tax havens, the annual productivity growth would have been 0.04 percentage points higher than a situation where you don't have such a leakage. So it's not that number today, according to our estimate, it's not that large, but it could be potentially an issue, because the French multinationals have also the largest numbers of workers abroad. To give you an example, for every 100 workers in French national enterprises in France, you have 68 workers abroad. And for a country like Germany, for German multinational enterprises, this is 35. So the point is that there, you have a bigger structure of French national enterprises abroad that could facilitate such a revenue transfers to pay less taxes in France than in abroad. But again, our latest estimates suggest that for the time being, it's relatively quite limited.
It's easy to see how this can have an effect on the level of measured productivity. it's much harder to see how this can have an effect on the growth rate of productivity, because for this, the problem would have to get more severe over time. Okay, let's now have a look at the more recent experience. So France and many other economies around the world have been hit by two big shocks. That is the COVID pandemic shock, and then the energy crisis that has been triggered by Russia's invasion in Ukraine. How have these shocks impacted French productivity performance? And in particular, how does the recent French performance compare to development, say, in the United States?
Yeah, well, first of all, the COVID crisis has reinforced the heterogeneity across countries that I mentioned above. So clearly, for countries like Germany, Italy, and France, the erosion we observe in capital stuck over time and working hours basically came on top of that, the heterogeneity from the various government policies we had in terms of teleworking, part-time work scheme, furlough scheme, or even subsidies and other sponsored government loans. Now, in the medium term, the strong energy prices has also negatively impact productivity. The main reason is because of the increase of production cost. And in the medium term, it's not clear whether the recent strong increases we observe in energy prices will continue to be negative for productivity. It depends clearly on the complementarity between energy and other production factors in the productive processes. The point is that our view of this negative impact of energy prices on productivity is also supported by the most recent review of academic literature, which basically highlight that the energy price increases tend to encourage or to lead firms to invest less, and then basically impacting negatively productivity.
Okay, there's another interesting feature which also chimes in with the whole debate about productivity, which is the labor market, which is very strong in France. It's strong in other places. And one possible explanation for that is that corporates are conducting some kind of labor hoarding, keeping people on the payroll. They don't need, in the sense that the amount of work that needs to be done is lower. And it also, at least to some extent, depresses productivity growth. To what extent do you think this plays a role, this labor hoarding? Is really happening? And does it prevent maybe a reallocation of resources to more productive use? And also, what is the risk that you think that all of a sudden corporates throw in the towel and say, oh, we simply have to adjust now in a more radical way our payroll?
Well, here you spot a very an important and very specific feature of the French productivity. So basically, first of all, the turning point, I would say, of the government regarding the retention, the labor hoarding, and the part-time work scheme we implemented during the COVID crisis is basically reflecting the lessons we learned from the financial crisis in 2009. And we realized that the very flexible system we had in country like Germany was quite beneficial for employment. In contrast, we had much more strict and rigid rules at that time in 2009 in France, which explained that we had a very strong increase of unemployment.
So sorry, you just interrupt. You mean the short shift scheme, so that the government would subsidize for some time companies who didn't need the workers during the crisis, but the government would come in and say, okay, we pay some of the wage as long as you keep the people on the payroll during the immediate crisis.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And today, what is quite attracted a lot of our attention is that basically the per capita productivity in France is by 8.5% below its pre-COVID trend. So clearly, liquidity hoarding, but job retention scheme is one of the factors. Almost explain 2 percentage points of this 8.5%, but it's not the only one. We also have basically other key issues like the structure of the labor force and the apprenticeships, because you know that there was a very active policy from the government to encourage such a program to facilitate the integration of students into the labor market. So then the point is that those factors are basically, in our view, in my view, is implying a temporary productivity loss. And not necessarily preventing from innovation and increase of human capital of capital stock. Sorry, the main reason is that basically the qualification of those population being retained during the crisis on the payroll should normally the quality of this. Workers will improve over time and will ease the accommodation of new technologies to improve the capital stock.
Okay, so you see no issues with the reallocation not taking place that potentially could be beneficial?
Well, we observe some reallocation of workers, especially from even now from the construction sector to the retail sectors or to or from transportation of services to other sectors. But the main issue in terms of productivity is this really stock of employment which continue to increase. Despite the economic slowdown and the clearly the apprenticeship and the integration of less skilled workers to the labor market, explaining this increase of employment, are for the time being, we believe in the short run, less productive than the average workers. But the learning by doing, if I may say, should normally improve their productivity over time. So for us, it's not yet a big issue.
Good. So let's now look forward a little bit to some of the future challenges that we face. So one important challenge is the green transition. That is the necessity to get European economies carbon free. And in your view, how will this green transition impact the French economy and its productivity growth going forward? And do you see the need for governments to financially support companies in order to accelerate and push through the green transition? So what's your views on these two topics?
Yeah, well, clearly green transition is a structural change that we will have in the future, similar to other structural changes like aging populations. For France, we estimate that the loss of economic and labor productivity growth associated to a reduction of 75% of the use of in fossil energy by 2050, as this is the goal, will be associated by a 0.3 percentage point decrease in productivity and economic growth per year, which is quite important, especially in France, because as I said earlier, France, the productivity growth in France is quite low, around 1% today. If you remove 0.3 percentage point, we drop at 0.57%, and that's a clear issue. Now, in the short run, clearly we have an issue for very small and small enterprises, because according to the various interactions we have with the entrepreneurs of such firms, it's clear that very often, they don't have the resources, human and financial resources, to adjust to this green transition process. So clearly, there will be a need of fiscal support or financial support from the government to those, especially to those firms, which could amount to up to around 50% in terms of public debt, which is quite important. All in all, just regarding the green transition, we estimate that the investment needed as a whole will be about 67 billion euros per year until 2050. And today already the government spent 30 billion euros last year. We will spend in terms of investment in infrastructure support to companies and so on, 40 billion this year. So then there is already quite significant support.
Are you talking about public and private investment, or
no? Just the total investment needed to meet the target of 2050 is 67 billion a year, and basically for the time being, the government is providing 50% of this amount, which is quite significant. But the key issue there is that, of course, the green transition in the medium term could be a positive factor on productivity, assuming or provided that you have the firms are able to innovate in technological terms, and also assuming that you don't have your industrial basis shrinking, which is a key issue. And clearly, the green transition will pose challenges to firms' profitability and competitiveness, right? And basically, the point is the tools adopted by Europe to tackle these issues is very important, because today we see that the various countries have different approaches to accompany such a smooth green transition, and that poses the competitiveness issues, right? So then it's clear, so that's the purpose, for instance, of the carbon adjustment mechanism adopted by Europe, which could be another topic for a next podcast, but the industrial policy promoted by Europe is clearly to not only maintain but probably to expand the industrial basis to regain sovereignty in various sectors, and that's again especially important for countries like France, because we observe a strong reduction of the industrial basis in France in early 2000s. So then this is a very big topic for the coming years.
Okay, then I'll try a quick summary of what you've said, and obviously we'll ask you whether you're fine with that summary. Don't want to put words into your mouth. The long-term trends in French productivity were actually similar to other countries. So from very strong productivity growth, 60s, 70s, coming down to around 1% before COVID. But you said then actually France did a bit better than other countries or its peers like Germany and Italy. And that has to do with the working hours actually increased. And that meant that people working actually on average are more productive. Tax gains by the French corporates takes place, but you don't think it's a big issue. And also French corporates have on average more foreign employees than say their peers in other countries, which one should take into account when talking about those leakages of value added via tax schemes. So you don't think it's a big issue. The impact of COVID, COVID kind of reinforced the heterogeneity that was already there, not least because government support measures were country specific and therefore reinforcing again these what we already had prior to that. But the energy shock, not the COVID, but energy shock clearly weighed on productivity, and it's less clear how corporates will be able to deal with that. And that brings me to the green transition, which actually the numbers you put up there were quite significant. So decline of productivity of 0.3 per year, if indeed we want to reach or France can reach its climate targets by 2050. There's lots of money that would need to be invested. You said 67 billion per year. Half of that had to come from or is coming currently from the government. And obviously that will have implications as well for the debt dynamics. But without that support, you mean it will be just difficult to make all that work. And finally, the labor market. There is labor hoarding, but you actually thought it was positive in the sense that keeping people in the job will mean that the human capital will not deteriorate as it would in if they were unemployed. And many people coming now to the job market are not well trained so far, but they will over time come, and that should actually have then a positive effect. So strong employment growth per se, you don't think is a problem in terms of low productivity. Was that a kind of fair summary?
Very fair. Yeah.
We try to be fair on this podcast. Then thanks again for your time today, Ella. And maybe in the future, we'll touch base again on other topics regarding the French economy.
With pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.